Morning, guys. Morning, mornings. It's nice to be here. Very nice. My English teacher said I mustn't say nice. Tea is nice. So I'm still unlearning that. But my name is Donovan, for those of you who don't know. I've got a wife, Sammy, and I've got three boys. The little rascals. And I've got a mom-in-law here as well today, Tamar, all the way from Isle of Man, with the other Isle of Manners, Connor and the tribes. It's super cool. We love you guys. Welcome to the warm side of the world. I'm going to jump in this morning with a couple of scriptures. Are you guys ready to read? From Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. We're going to skip a couple of verses as I move, because if we read the whole thing, it will take us a whole half an hour. And apparently, some of us can't concentrate that long. But let's go. Like Phil prayed, let's just say to the Lord this morning, eh? Lord, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Do what you want to do. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2. This is Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. Now imagine, we're the church in Sunningdale. He is writing to us. Some of us, he says here, he writes to the Jews and the Gentiles. So if you're a Jew, do we have a Jew here? No Jews. One Jew, solid. We've got one Jew. Praise God. And the rest of us are Gentiles. That means you're not a Jew. That's what the word Gentile means. Also solid to the Gentiles. Praise God. And he says now that you have. So I'm going to start here, verse 19. This is Paul writing to the church. This is now to people who have already given their lives to the Lord. They've acknowledged their sin, they've repented, they've received and believed in Jesus. Now they are Christians. Okay, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. That's an old word for like not part of the clan. Okay. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Verse 20. And this household is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And Jesus, Christ Jesus himself, being the cornerstone of this household. Amen. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. That's verse 21. In the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a holy place for God by the Spirit. So when he says you there, he means yous. All of us. Not just me, but you. So as we are being joined, did you guys catch that? As we, each one of us are being joined together, we are being built up. Let's jump to chapter 3, verse 10. Paul continues and he says, I'm telling you all of this, that there's this household being built so that, you're asking obviously why this now. Verse 10, so that through the church, say through the church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And this was according to the eternal purpose. So God had an eternal purpose or eternal plan that he had. This didn't just happen. He tried to fix things. Okay? This was his eternal purpose. That through the church, he's going to make himself known. And he realized it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember, Christ Jesus is the chief cornerstone being built on the prophets and the apostles. And then verse 20, we're moving on. Now to him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory where? In the church. That was a very soft one. Where? In the church, okay. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So this was written in AD 62, like 62 years, sorry, after Jesus was born, 78 generations ago. So we're here, 78 generations later, still echoing these words, still building on the traditions that we've received. Jesus being the chief cornerstone, the apostles and the prophets built. Now you and I are sitting here. Can you believe it? That's incredible stuff. Let's move on. Chapter 4, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 16. And now, okay, how do we build? I'm sure you're asking by now. So now we've got this temple, we're being built into good. How do we build this thing? Okay, verse 11. And Jesus, this is, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, we've already read about them. He even gave evangelists, he gave pastors, and he gave teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To equip the saints. Why? So that you can do the work of ministry. Why do you have to do work of ministry? Read the next line. For the building up of the body of Christ. Until when? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Now, when you guys look around you at the church, do you guys think we've arrived at the unity of the faith? No, guys, come on, man. Now, you guys are right. You guys are right. Have we received the fullness of Jesus, the full knowledge of Jesus? Are we there? Are we living out the fullness of Jesus? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Have we done that? So what does that mean? We got work to do. That's what it means. Plain English. We got work to do. Amen? Amen. Okay. Next verse. Where are we now? Verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. If you guys open your YouTube, we will see there's a lot of winds of doctrine. So be careful. By human cunning, by craftiness, deceitful schemes. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Can I have someone with a white shirt to come stand here quickly? We got a guy here. What's your name, brother?
Craig.
And you're tall. Well done, bro. So Craig... Craig, I'm standing a little closer. So we've got Craig here. Craig is representing the body of Christ. So just to visualize it for a moment. Craig is here. He's the body of Christ. Can I touch your head? Is it fine? It says here in the scripture that the body grows up into the head. Who is? Christ Jesus. So we're all being joined together as members to this body. Paul writes in Corinthians, and he says, now each one of us, as we are being saved, as we are becoming part of Jesus, we not only become part of Jesus, we become part of, I know it's hard to say, you just want to be you and Jesus, eh? Just say, I'm becoming part of?
The body.
Come on. So, can you stand here a little bit longer so we can see this? I want us to see this morning, that as we become Christians, basically, you become part of something. And we're going to look this morning at what does it mean for you and me? What does it actually mean, and how do we do it? Is that cool? And by the end of today, we want to go, I say yes, or Lord, I'm not ready, but I say yes anyway. So those are the two options this morning. Come on. I say yes because I feel the conviction of yes, I'm scared, I'm going to do this anyway. I remember the first time I came to a 412, Ephesians 412, it's like our bigger group of churches, 2012, I came to a training time here. We were up there in the training hall there. And I remember by the fourth day, I remember calling Mornay back in Mossel Bay. Like, I was literally crying. I was like, I finally see why I'm saved. And we can't do it. We can't do it. Have you guys ever tried to build unity across nations, across generations? And that made me excited because Jesus is doing it. But He's doing it through each one of us. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Just stay, baby. You're looking good.
Thank you.
What? He represents verse 16. So from the whole body. Okay, so we're growing in. Okay. From whom the whole body... joined and held together by every joint. That means including me. Say including me. Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. I just want to say. Every joint with which it is equipped. Remember we read in verse 12? Equipping the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist. They equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And then that saint is being joined in as a member. And now as he is joined and is equipped, what's going to happen? When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Now that's good news. You guys are looking for love? Remember you two? I can live with or without you. That's how we sometimes feel towards the church. Often we feel like that towards the church. We know we can't live without it, but we struggle to live with it. I trust that the Spirit this morning will cut off that one part and just like, I can live with you. Guys, the preach title today is living your best life right now. Come on. Our best life is hidden within the body of Christ. Yeah. Your calling is hidden within the body of Christ. Jesus saved you that you become a member, a part of this thing, growing up in love. Who wants love? Everyone wants love. We were made to grow up into Jesus, into all things, in all things into Christ. So this plot twist is happening right here all the time. And this is where we need to get on the same page, everyone, is that it's no longer about me. It's about we. We need you, and you need we. You can write that down. We need you, and you need we. Amen. Come on, guys. My calling is hidden in you. Literally, my destiny is hidden in you. It's knit as I'm joined together with you and you and you and you, and you joined together with me and Craig and each one of us. Our destinies and our callings is hidden within that. And how well we are joined together, and how well we are properly working together, how well it is, Nate, we're going to grow up in love. You want to grow in love? Yeah. Get in. That's what that scripture actually say. We all want to be loved, and we want to be loving. And but Paul is teaching us, guys, our love depends on one another. So, and even when we, I want to quickly just a disclaimer for those of you who are thinking, but why do we then sing Jesus, all I need is you? Because Jesus is the only source. He's the only way we get this right. He's the only truth on which we build. He's the only life that we breathe within this body. It's not our efforts. Because the scripture tells us that even our best deeds are like worthless rags before the Lord. No condemnation, guys. I'm like, that's good news. Praise God. So, I want to ask you, do you ever wonder what is your best life? I'm sure you do, eh? Some of us think financial freedom. I'm starting my timer now, fool. Praise God. That was a long intro. Thank you for your patience, guys. I love you. That was... The world tells us that our best life is either a little farm somewhere. Well, if you guys want to live on a farm, have your own chickens. Get that fresh eggs in the morning, baby. Come on. Sourdough. Your wife baked you a sourdough. Not oatmeal. Or you want to live on a yacht somewhere, catch your little fishies in the morning. Some of you guys think your best life is having financial freedom. I want to say that's our best life, according to the eternal plan and purposes of Jesus, is walking effectively and devotedly in the body of Christ. So we read. I want to quickly just put this in contrast. Do we have someone with a black shirt? Can you come for us? Yeah. Thank you for your humility, brother. You must stand on this side, because what we have here now, he says, I will make. God uses this, Ephesians, can we have that up 3 verse 10 again? Ephesians, Paul says, I will, through the church, I will make myself known, my manifold wisdom known to the powers and the principalities. You guys know about the powers and the principalities. So we've got a kingdom of light, come on, and we've got a kingdom of darkness. Darth Vader on this side, Jesus Christ on this side. Come, Lord. There's only two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms. Kingdom of life, kingdom of death. So if you read in the beginning of Ephesians 2, you will see you have been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. You were once dead in your trespasses, but you are now alive in Christ. You were blind, but now you can. You were deaf, but now you can. The voice of God. As sheep, becoming part of this fold, becoming part of this body, you can now see, you can now hear, you can now live. You weren't bad and now you're good. I'm going to say that again. You weren't bad and now you're good. You're technically still bad. But that's good news. Because we, in Christ, we are justified. Yes, I love Craig. This guy is like with me. My goodness. Yes, bro. I'm adopting you. Come on. I'm adopting you. So, come on. So, as we become part of Jesus' body, we are now justified, saved by grace, and now we are being sanctified, getting better. And until that perfect day. So some of us have been down this road for longer. Who of you guys been saved for less than a year? Do we have people here? Lekker. Come on, come on, come on. Praise God. Who of you guys been saved for less than 2 years? Okay, less than 5 years. That's wonderful. Who of you guys been saved for more than 10 years? Wow. Craig, you've been saved from the beginning, remember? So God is calling us out of darkness into life. And there's a, so how, I want to, you're probably asking about now, how do we respond to this? What do we do, Donovan? I'm going to say there's two things we need to do. We need to, number one, get out of the way. And number two, we need to get into His ways. Get out the way through repentance, laying down our lives. Because unless a kernel of seed falls to the ground, unless someone deny himself and pick up his cross, there is no life. You can't follow me, Jesus said. Jesus actually said, you put his hand to the plow. In other words, picture language here, guys. This is like, because we constantly need picture language so that we can see what God is calling us to. If we put our hand to the plow and we're going to plow with the Lord, we're going to do this thing, he who looks back, Jesus said, is not fit for me. So the cross before me, the world behind me, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's his whole life to get out the way. We want to say, Lord, I will devote my life to you. Nah? To your purposes, Lord, to step into the most epic story in history, which is busy unfolding. We're 78 generations. There might be one. Jesus might be coming back tomorrow, guys. I mean, like, there's peace treaties busy in Israel. It's scary stuff if you read Daniel. There's stuff happening. Jesus can be coming back tomorrow, or you might be just going tomorrow. There are people going tomorrow. There are people dying tomorrow. There's people dying today. I mean, like, we've got people in our congregation who are on the end of their lives through cancer, through AIDS, for different things. We had a couple yesterday in a car accident, and praise God, they are okay. We're all going through stuff. There's an urgency in the Lord, in the Spirit, to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready, Lord. I want to be ready. And so for us to live our best life now is to start to get very, 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 very intentional about church. Say intentional about church. Intentional about church. Yes, you guys are amazing. So to be intentional about church is what it's really about, because God is using the church as a vehicle to come into the darkness and grab people out into the light. Come on. And he moves the church and he goes into the darkness and he saves people. Those guys who were saved this year, it happens through the light. It happens through people like you and me who was sharing the gospel, who was just inviting someone to church. Your voice is important. If you're a plumber, I heard this story this week from Craig and the guys, like the plumber invited them to church. Come on. Who of you guys are plumbers or electricians? Or builders who are getting into people's homes. God, come on. invite people to church. If you struggle to do that, sort it out. Sort it out, man. We need to be bold and confident because God has an eternal purpose. He's using the church as a vehicle to make himself known. He needs to save those people. Guys, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. It's our great honor and privilege to do exactly the same. Amen. Amen. So let's look at a couple of verses. You guys can sit down. Thank you so much. Bless you guys. Give these guys. We love you. Ask Phil if you can have a free flat white after church for your amazing contribution here this morning, guys. Can we look at a couple of verses just learning from the very first church in Acts 2:42? What does it look like for you and me to be intentional? Is that cool? Is that cool? Okay. I don't want to move on without you guys, eh? Okay, Acts 2 verse 42. And it reads, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. And all who believed, yes, and all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, listen to that, together, not in their beds, just having quiet time. That's good as well. Do your quiet time in your bed. And had all things in common. In other words, they shared the goods, helped one another. Verse 45. And they were selling their possessions even and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Looking after one another's need. And day by day, attending the temple together. In other words, they would even come to church daily. Coming to church is biblical. It happened. And breaking bread in their homes. They were meeting each other's homes daily. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. That's a good one for the youngsters, guys. Glad. Glad hearts. Gratitude determines your altitude. How does that saying go? Your altitude. Your attitude. Ah, oh, come on. An attitude of gratitude that determines your altitude. Okay, there we go. Let's move on. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the number, say, day by day, those who were being saved. So our whole purpose is to live in such a way that we are out there, in here, out there, in here, out there, doing our jobs, meeting each other's homes, breaking bread together, meeting each other, reminding each other, encouraging one another, so that day by day the Lord can add people. That's the whole story right there. So the first thing, let's look at the apostles' teachings. I just want to say, I was asking my seven-year-old this week, you know, what's your favorite thing about church? And he said, I really like the worship. I like it when we play together. Sometimes the preaching and a little bit the kids' church. And I think if I ask each one of you guys, what do you like? Some of you guys will like the preaching. Some of you guys might like Michael's face when he leads worship because he's beautiful. Some of you guys like to do, I don't know what you like. But I do want to say we are not here because of our preference. What we like. We've got a generation of people who go to this church because they like the preaching, and they go to that church because of they like the worship. They like go to this church because they feel their kids are happy there. We just read, the Lord added. In other words, the Lord adds you to a local church. I want to encourage you. Be faithful where the Lord adds you. He knits you into that body for a very specific purpose. And I want to, let's touch a couple of points. What does that look like? So the apostles' teachings. We receive the apostles' teachings through these scriptures. This is Paul, Peter, John, James writing to the churches. Again, imagine he's writing to the church in Ephesus and say, you guys, you are a body. He writes to the church in Corinthians and says, guys, you are a body. He writes to the church in Sunningdale and he says, you are a body being joined together and being knit together. Saved by Jesus, saved by grace alone. And we're not going to look at salvation much today. But now after I'm saved, equally important, is the vehicle now through which we move. And how do we do that? First thing I want to say about the apostles' teaching is they discipled. They discipled and they were being discipled. Constantly. Again, day after day, they met each other, reminding each other of the way that Jesus lived, the way that Paul lived, the way that Peter lived. They reminded each other of the way of life and their doctrine. So they devote, and it says the first is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the way that we live. Quickly imagine, they didn't have Bibles like you and me. Their Bibles was listening. Firstly, when they get together, they would hear the letters shared. They couldn't go back on Monday and open their iPhone, open YouVersion, and go like verse of the day. They couldn't. They had to remember. I remember what I was taught yesterday, that we are here to love one another, that here to share with one another, we're that here to build one another up. The apostolic teaching, getting rooted in sound doctrine from faithful leaders. I want to look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 2. It's such a beautiful picture of the way that apostolic teaching is being passed on from one person to the next. And Paul writes to Timothy, which was his younger disciple. Okay? So some of you guys are older. I speak to you as father. Some of you guys are older mother. Some of you guys are brothers and sisters. Paul writes to a younger disciple, Timothy, who's going to be the next generation of leaders. That will be like for me to write to, who's a young guy? Who consider yourself young? David says he's young. Come on. How old are you, David? 26. Yes, come on. So it will be like for me to write to David. David, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. No other strength. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, the things we spoke about on Sunday, spoke about last Wednesday, remember when you brought with me the previous weekend, remember those things as we got together, as we were meeting in each other's homes. The things you've heard from me in the presence of many, entrust to faithful men, or the other word will be reliable men, who will be able to teach others also. So this whole pattern, it starts with Paul starting here, back in 62. Well, this is a little bit later, I think. Saying, guys, look for those who are faithful, who are reliable. Remember what I taught them and let them then teach the next generation. So I want to ask today, do you want to be that guy? Come on. Do you want to be that guy found by Paul, found by Timothy? Faithful to receive what we've been taught and able to then pass it on to the next. Do you want to be that guy? That's good. We've got 3 guys. I'm excited. We can build. We can move. Nick, come on. We've got 3 new leaders. Come on. It's this doctrine that we're passing on one to another. One to another, each one of us becoming an effective part of God. Peter phrased it in this way. I'm not going to read the scripture, but he said, we become a priesthood of believers. It's no longer the priest and the believers, but it's a priesthood. Each one of us becoming effective. And another way that we do apostolic teaching, we actually got guys who are apostolic gifts to the church. Like Andrew Selly, who leads us. Jonathan Stanfield, he's coming actually at the gathering the 25th. A way to devote ourselves to the apostolic teaching is to be there when the apostle is there. That's quite obvious. But I don't think we always think about it as obvious as that. Next week, we've got an evangelist here. We've got the apostle here in 2 weeks. We've got the evangelist here next week. Today, you've got a pastor here. That's me. Hallelujah. And you guys all came. 2 weeks ago, we had a teacher here, Mike Tofay. Where's the prophet? I'm looking for the prophet, guys. Come on. Mervis, we need to invite him. But you guys start to see, there's this picture of us as congregations and as churches, as we work together. We've got the apostolic, we've got the evangelist, and we work into one another week after week and day after day. It's not about coming to church to hear a preach, guys. Amen. Consider your leaders. It was a big topic in the early church. Consider your leaders. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This is why we don't look at guys on YouTube, because you can't see their way of life. You can only hear their doctrine. And it takes hours to figure out what is right and wrong anyway. So that's why, remember, God joins us in each other's. The fact that the early church did it from the beginning in each other's homes as well is the proof that we need to be able to see one another. We need to be able to visually see one another. Look at our leaders' lives. Look at their way of life. When I look at Nick's life, I can imitate his faith, the way that he faithfully loves Jesus, the way that he faithfully loves his wife. Every time I see her, she's like, thank you, Donovan. And I'm like, thank you, Belinda. And it's a beautiful thing where I can follow their way of life. The way I look at Phil, I was spending the last 6 months in Com with Phil. And every time his daughters speak in Com, I want to cry. I'm like, this guy has loved his children. Wow. And I want to imitate that. This is why it's so important that we get together and see each other's life. If you haven't spent time with some of your leaders in the last month, I want to say it. I want to make it short. Get to your leaders. Spend time with them. Invite them into your homes. Verse 17 in Hebrews 13 says, even obey your leaders. It's strong language that the writer is using. Obey your leaders. Submit to them. I know it's scary, guys. But God is calling us for a higher purpose, to be an example. We need one another to stay accountable. Because if we don't use that accountability, we're probably going to fall morally. You guys can look around. For that, you don't even go. Don't go to YouTube again. There's too much of that. Listen to this. And those, they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then the next verse, he writes, so pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for your leaders. Hebrews 10, 24. Massive value. This was so important that the early Baptist church would kick people out of church if they didn't commit to this little scripture. Guys, listen to this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this, what does this mean? Practically, this means we start to plan our calendars around church, not church around our calendars. Very practically. I plan my life. I will move my kids' birthdays. And we've done that for the last 15 years. If Andrew is here or is Jonathan is here, if there's an important meeting, even if it's a... People often ask me this. Can I poke? People ask me, is it an important meeting? What Bible do you read, bro? Every meeting is important. Do not neglect meeting together. Every meeting is important. That coffee that you're drinking at Bootleggers is important. Consider how you can stir that person up unto love and good works. That coffee, the Wednesday night, the Monday night, the braai is important. The next one that they devote themselves is to fellowship. That was my biggest challenge when I joined Josh Jane 15 years ago. I was like, this guy, we had guys in our congregation was more excited about the rugby than the prayer meeting. And I thought, my goodness, those guys are flaky, absolutely flaky. I don't think they're saved. Asked my wife, and they had to sit me down and go like, whew. Watching rugby together, and this, if this upsets you, let's have coffee in the week. I've got time for you. I love you. Watching rugby together, watching soccer together, going to play paddle together is as biblical as praying. It's as important. You can't take an element out of the church, separate it from the people of God, and think it's going to benefit you. The teaching is important. The fellowship is important. The briar, the paddle. The next one was the breaking of the bread, having meals in each other's homes, eating together. Guys, when last did you eat with people in your home? Some of you guys have got small homes. I know, we live in Cape Town. Hey, we've got small homes. You don't have to put up your hand. I love you. I also got a relative. I don't know. I've got a home. When last did you invite someone to come eat with you? Have you done that in the last 6 months? If you haven't, do it. Invite them in. Break bread. Eat together. Laugh together. You don't have to do communion every time, but have communion as often as possible as well. Do it with your mom, with your wife, with your kids, with your, maybe not with your girlfriend. It's dangerous. Don't get too spiritual with your girlfriend. Thanks, Marley is agreeing. She's like, yes, I've got three daughters. Keep them pure, Lord. Keep them pure. Breaking of the bread. And the last one was prayer. I want to encourage us that Jesus modeled prayer for us absolutely beautifully. Morning after morning and evening after evening. Jesus was God. And he throwed himself on God, his Father. In utter dependence. Utter dependence. There was not, Jesus said, I cannot do anything without my Father. I do what he does. I say what he says. And you can hear it. Jesus, morning after morning, evening after evening, would go in times of prayer, throwing himself with utter dependence on the Father. And that's what prayer means for you and me. Don't wait for the prayer meeting. I remember that was my question. Well, why aren't we having more prayer meetings? I'm like, I have a prayer meeting. If you want a prayer meeting, organize one. Invite people to your home. Pray. Don't wait for the prayer meeting. Remember, we are a priesthood of believers. And as each one contributes, if you want to pray for something, if the Spirit is stirring in your heart to pray for something and you want to pray with someone, organize it. You can even invite me. I might come. If I've got time, obviously. So can we, thanks, Austin, love it. Can we stand? Can we stand? And as we do these things, the Lord will add to us daily. The Lord will add to us daily. Guys, our congregation alone, we've grown with about 100 people in the last 12 months, eh? It's a lot of souls to look after. But that's not enough. So we need to make room for more. And the way we make room for more is becoming effective members, each one of us. So I wanna actually call us today. If you wanna say, Jesus, I wanna take a step deeper into your body. I wanna be joined even more. Maybe some of you guys realize you've been around, you come on Sundays checking this thing out, but you're like, whoa, I actually need to join. In this body, I need to become a member. I want to devote myself. I want to give myself. Then I want to ask us to just take a step this morning. Come to the front. We devote ourselves to the Lord. And we say, Lord, here we are. We want to be a church who's effective for you. If that's you, you can come to the front now already. We're going to just devote ourselves to the Lord again this morning. I don't have to put the verse up, but in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, listen to this. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, I want to commend the church of Macedonians, for they, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then by the will of God, they also gave themselves to us. If you want to be a Timothy or be found by a Paul or a Timothy, you want to be found faithful and you want to make a fresh devotion this morning. Say, Lord, I want to be found faithful so that I can also teach others, so that I can pass on this legacy, this generation. I want you to step to the front, step to the front. Just it's just an action this morning of saying, yes, Lord, I want to be. If you feel you've already done this, and you don't need to step forward, then also step forward, because then you're saying, okay, I'm in. Just, hey, come on. Just take that step of saying, Lord, I'm taking the step this morning forward. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see the lost saved. Lord, we just devote ourselves this morning to you. If you are here, and as we talk about church, you're like, whoa, I don't even know Jesus. I don't even know Jesus. The Bible says in Romans that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And the wages of that sin is death. But Jesus, once and for all on the cross, he took upon himself that sin. He took upon himself the punishment that was due to me and you. And he nailed it to the cross. And then he said, whoever now believes in Jesus can receive eternal life. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel and say, Lord, yeah, I actually want to give my life to the Lord. You might do this for the first time. You might realize today maybe you haven't been saved. You haven't given your life to the Lord. Then I want to give you an opportunity to say, Lord, here I am. So if that's you, just put up your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. I want to give my life. I thank you. I see that hand. Come on, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you. Just maybe keep it up. Just as a, Lord, here I am. I give my life to you this morning. Is there anyone else? We want to pray with you now.
I was just reminded of the story of the centurion and his faith. And his situation was he needed healing for one of his children. But he said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. But I know if you speak the word, simply because he understood authority. And I feel like today there's people, now I'm not talking about healing, maybe God wants to do that too, but I'm talking about salvation. Those who are not coming to salvation because they feel unworthy, that is why you can come, because you know your lack of worth. You know how broken you are. You know how you are nothing outside of him. And he says, come to me.
If that's you, please respond this morning. I think there's another prophetic word. Dan, do you want to share that quickly with us?
Yeah, I just felt as, you know, as Donnie was speaking about knitting ourselves into the body, that there may be some people here who you're hearing that, and your heart is saying, yeah, I want to do that, but there's another part of your heart that's saying, but I've been hurt. I can't actually do this. There's something, I want to surrender, but I can't. And I just feel like God is actually wanting to call you to actually let go and surrender to what he wants to do. It's not that the church wants to pull you in, it's Jesus wants to pull you into the church. There's safety there, because it's what Jesus wants to do. So maybe if that's you and you're feeling that you've had pain, you've actually held people, you've held the body at arm's length, you've just kept your distance because you know that you've been hurt, and maybe you have been hurt, but God is saying, let go and let me draw you in. Let me draw you in.